Hi, folks. Doug McBurney here. Hey, if you're like me, you can't imagine life without three things: God, guitars, and Bob Enyart Live. And while my God will always be there for me, and my guitar is paid for, keeping Bob Enyart Live on the radio is a labor of love that demands our attention every now and then. And now is that time. September is Bob's telethon month, and he needs your help to stay on the radio for another year. Bob's presence on the mighty 50,000-watt KLT in Denver gives him the ability to consistently book A-list interviews and promote godly ideas on the terrestrial airwaves. I'm asking you to call right now or go online to purchase any or all of Bob's eye-opening Christian resources available in written, audio, or video formats. And with each new monthly subscription for the telethon or a donation of $50 or more, you will receive Bob's newest DVD, How to Be a Christian Family, as a free gift. Call 1-800-8-ENYART right now or go to kgov.com and come alongside Bob's vital ministry and keep Bob broadcasting for another year. That's 1-800-8-ENYART or go to kgov.com, kgov.com right now to give Bob the essential support that only you can offer.
One in is truth of ahead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob Enyart Live.
Greetings to the brightest audience. Greetings. Doug, please, Doug, shut up for a moment. Trying to get on the air. Hey, Doug McBurney should be here in studio next week with me. Of course, he pre-recorded that telethon spot, and thank you, Doug, for doing that. And thank you, everyone who's helping out with our telethon, and also those who came to the banquet for the Brady Project Colorado Right to Life's banquet Saturday night with Alan Keyes. And Alan Keyes spoke Sunday morning. It was a secret. We couldn't announce it ahead of time because we didn't want to hurt the banquet, which was well attended, and a wonderful time was had by all. So I'll tell you about Alan Keyes and where he spoke Sunday morning and how that went in a moment. But a few news stories, and also this is our telethon month. Once a year we have in September, for many years now, the Bob Enyart Live September telethon to keep us on the radio for another year. It's very expensive to be on the air. It's about $3,000 a month for the airtime. We have our staff. We have quite a staff, and it is a labor of love. The people who are here who help to get the word out, but we need your help. So we'll talk about that and the materials we have that you can help with, help keep us on the air by enjoying in just a little bit. But first, a little bit of news. In Seattle, a man has pleaded guilty to tricking his pregnant ex-girlfriend into taking an abortion pill. Now, this is, and you know what's interesting? There is a parallel to what happened in Seattle in this story. Now, this man is he's being sentenced. He's scheduled for sentencing on December 5th. And it reminds me of the Brady Project here in Colorado, because Brady was killed by a crash. A drunk driver killed Heather Cervic's son, Brady, 8 months in the womb. And he was not charged with killing a baby because they said that Brady wasn't a person. Well, in Seattle, this John Weldon tricked his ex-girlfriend into taking an abortion pill, and he's not charged with killing a baby, trying to kill a baby, homicide. He's charged with tampering with a consumer product. So here is a woman. You know how Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry, they make a distinction between wanted babies and unwanted babies? But even when the baby is wanted, they sure don't fight for that baby to be treated as a baby. They still want that baby to be treated as a thing, as property. And so on December 5th, we'll find out what kind of sentence. But when you take children and you consider a child as a thing, then of course you live in a world that is insane. And so as Alan Keyes pointed out over the weekend, he said, you know, if someone decides, they look at another human being, a living human being, they say, that is not a person, therefore I can kill it. You know, I could sell it as property like slavery, or I could lynch it or gas it like a Jew in Germany, or just an unborn child, or it's not a person, so I could kill it. He said, that is evil. But what is even more evil is when somebody says, and for this you need somebody called a conservative, is when somebody says, you know, I believe that's a person, but I will agree with this law, with this bill, with this funding bill, to sign this, to support this, even though it will intentionally kill those who I say are persons. So what's more evil than saying that this is not a person and I think you can kill it is the George W. Bush, John McCain, Mitt Romney position of saying, well, we believe the baby in the womb is a person, but we have exceptions and we think you could kill them under certain circumstances. Which is more evil, saying, I don't think it's a person, so I'm going to kill it, or saying, I do think it's a person, but I'm going to kill it anyway? Which is more evil? Alan Keyes points out that the latter is far more evil. That's why Jesus said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. And so for those who know right from wrong and then they do wrong, that is worse than when people say they don't know. So that's in Seattle. Also in Seattle, the police were called for a baptism. A baptism ended in a brawl. And at first I thought, what was it? A sprinkling versus immersion kind of thing? But it wasn't. It was a drunken brawl. There was a baptism, and at the church they were serving alcohol. And the crowd became extremely rowdy, so much so that the police were called. And when the police showed up, the crowd turned on the police. The crowd. Now, and it makes me think of, you know, the Apostle Paul. Remember, he said, now this won't make me very popular, but I'm going to say it anyway because, you know, warning, 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 Will Robinson, their Bible verse up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob and Yurt Live that you would like to silence anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. Remember the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, you know, there's so much division among you guys. There's so much division. And some people say, oh, they baptize this way. Other people say they baptize that way. And he said, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. That's a shocking statement for a lot of people to hear. And if you think about baptism, think of the division that it's caused among people who love the Lord. We have divided over many doctrines. For example, the end times, right? Or speaking in tongues. Or the Sabbath. You go to church on Saturday or Sunday. Or can you lose your salvation or not? A lot of topics we divide over. I think more Christians, more churches, more denominations have split over baptism than any other topic, I think. And if you consider that, let's say, what's life expectancy today? It's going upwards of 80 years, right? If you're a married woman, 80 years. If you're a single homosexual, 54. Used to be 40. So a married woman, married people live longer, right? That's just happens to be the way it is. And women outlive men. Feminists say that our health system is biased toward men. Now, you'd assume by that they mean that men live longer than women. Women live much longer than men, as it should be. You know, men take care of women. When it's 12 degrees below zero and there's a power outage, who's outside up on the poles reconnecting the wires? Women or guys? Who? It's guys. It should be guys. Guys should be willing to lay down. Anyway, that's a tangent. So we have in our lives of 70 to 80 years, we have how much time do we spend getting baptized? Like actual minutes? 7 minutes? My board operator is saying 5 minutes. a few minutes, right? So let's say 7 minutes out of your life of 80 years, 7 minutes. And yet tens of millions of Christians have broken off fellowship with one another over baptism. And it's all kinds of reasons for baptism, like how do you do it? Sprinkling versus immersion. What words do you say? Do you baptize in the name of Jesus only, or the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit? What does the baptism accomplish? What does it do? Is it efficacious? Is it symbolic? Who can be baptized? Every possible way of looking at baptism has caused division among Christians. Even when Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, I'm so worried because there's so much division among you guys, and especially concerning baptism. And I thank God that Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. So I think at the very least, we could take a lesson from that, that when we have a baptism, it shouldn't end in a brawl. And this one did, but I think it was not primarily over doctrine. It was over alcohol, which that's not an especially good time for me to share our teaching on alcohol. Because if you Google the words, what does the Bible say about wine? If you Google that, there's, you know, here at Bob and Yurt Live, we've been on the internet on our website, kgov.com, since the 90s. We staked out our internet real estate a long time ago. I used to work at Microsoft Program Manager in Redmond, Washington. So we realized how important the internet was early on. And that's why for many topics, many, I am a spokesperson for American Right to Life. If you Google, for example, abortion exceptions, I think the American Right to Life article will be the number one article, I think. If you Google abortion regulations, I think the American Right to Life article will be the number one article, about number one. And usually it's out of tens of thousands, you know, or hundreds of thousands. If you Google life of the mother, I think the American Right to Life article will be about number one. If you Google what does the Bible say about wine, if you put it in quotes or not, it doesn't matter. Our article at kgov.com is on the first page. And if you put it in quotes, out of 7,500 websites that have that phrase, that question, what does the Bible say about wine, we're number three. Number three, which is pretty neat. We are very discoverable. We have been hitting on the basics of what does God's word say, trusting the Lord for 22 years on the air. And so that's enabled us to reach many people, including with the personhood strategy for ending child killing in America. So anyway, there we have the baptism brawl in Seattle and the man tricking his ex-girlfriend into taking an abortion pill. That's an attempted homicide, right? And if the baby dies, then it's murder. But he gets charged with tampering with a consumer product. How's that? Then in California, the state said, okay, now we're going to start performing same-sex weddings in prisons. And we could thank John Roberts for that, right? John Roberts, George W. Bush nominated John Roberts to be the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. At the time, Leslie Hanks was Vice President of Colorado Right to Life. That was 2007. She wrote a press release warning Christians don't support John Roberts, warning the pro-life movement, retract your support for John Roberts. John Roberts recently voted to uphold Obamacare. Obamacare, which aside from every other wicked thing that Obamacare embodies, it also provides for child killing. Of course, right? Tax-funded abortion. Of course, Barack Obama lied, and he said, well, you'll get to keep your doctor, you'll get to keep your program, right? That was all totally, that was simply a lie. And I remember the day he said, it will not pay for abortions. And then he said, it will not provide health care for illegal aliens. I remember that day we went on the air and said, in fact, Obamacare will pay for abortions for illegal aliens. So if you're pregnant with, well, you can't be pregnant with an illegal alien, right? That wouldn't be possible, because if the child was born here, the child would be a citizen. So you become a citizen when you're born in a country or born of citizens of that country. You become a person when you're conceived. So Alan Key said he was debating some gal at a college campus, and she took offense to say to him saying that the child in his womb was a living human being. She took offense. She was just, you know, pregnant a few months. And he said, well, wait, I'm confused. You were once, he said, you know how that works? Like, you know, ducks give birth to ducks, and penguins give birth to penguins, and eagles give, well, they hatch, eagles, penguins hatch, right? And he said, that's the way of nature. You reproduce after your kind. So if the baby in your womb is not a human being, well, you were once that in your mother's womb. So what are you? Because you couldn't be a human being if the baby in your womb is not a human being. Whatever it is, that's what you are. So then we have homosexual marriage in this country. That's really the father of homosexual marriage is Mitt Romney, who is the first to institute statewide homosexual marriage by his executive decree, his executive order to county clerks to issue homosexual marriage licenses, which he did. He didn't have the true authority to do it, but he did it on his own. And you can read about that at prolifeprofiles.com/Romney. And then we have John Roberts, who's the judicial father of the homosexual agenda. He fought to overturn Colorado's Amendment 2, and he reinstituted homosexual marriage in California, and he gave us Obamacare. So if you don't focus on the fundamentals, then the effort you put forth in your life will come to nothing, right? God warns us in the Bible that the things you do in the flesh will be burned up. The things we do trusting God will lead to eternal fruit and reward and blessing and benefit. And the things we do in the flesh will be burned up. And I mean, we could see most of the efforts of the old guard pro-family industry have come to nothing, because they were founded on sand. Jesus said, you know, you look at the foundation and then you build the building. You don't build it on sand. We have a fourth porn industry employee test positive for HIV. HIV, that's homophobia is vindicated. HIV. And there is... they fear an epidemic. And I remember when on this show I interviewed a liberal Democrat, Dennis Kucinich. And what's the good of interviewing Dennis Kucinich, right? He's worse than Governor Moonbeam. He's just a lunatic. But I figured I'd take the opportunity to explain to Dennis Kucinich that how all these liberals and Democrats who say they care about women and feminism and all, and it's obviously hypocritical, because the porn industry does to women what, if you tried to do to a woman in the medical industry, you'd be arrested and thrown in jail. If you ran a hospital and you tried to do to a nurse, but, you know, you tried to get her to agree to it and you would pay her, but you tried to get to do to a nurse what they do every day in Hollywood to women in the porn industry, you'd be thrown in jail and it'd be a violation of federal law. And how about OSHA, for starters? Occupational safety and health. How about that? How would that work with bodily fluids being exchanged as part of your employment contract? You think, how should that, you know, be like being a Hollywood being a Broadway actress, and they say, okay, so you're getting paid. You're getting paid a lot of money. You're getting paid, you know, $50,000-$80,000 a year for this bit part. Oh, and by the way, you have to open your mouth and let this actor spit in your mouth. That's Hollywood. That is Hollywood. That's Hollywood. And so Dennis Kucinich, I asked him, said, Dennis, at least you're in Congress. You should be able to do something. Well, fast forward years later, it should be against the law to traffic in human sexuality is a crime. Now, here's what the industry that wants to regulate child killing, you know what their public policy position is on the porn industry? They want it regulated. They want to regulate. What are you going to regulate? Prostitutes? Regulate pornography? Regulate what? Homosexual marriage? Regulate child killing? Regulate? When things are inherently criminal, you don't advocate regulating them. You advocate recriminalizing them. And we have, let's see, in the What's a Liberal to Do file, from our What's a Liberal to Do file, in New Jersey, there's a school that's saying they had it. From now on, when a student doesn't have money, they're not going to feed them. So no student meals if the kids don't have money, if they can't pay for it. What's a liberal to do, right? We pointed out years ago, 22 years ago on this show, and ever since, that if the government liberals say, well, these kids, they're not being fed breakfast at home. They're not being given a good breakfast, so how could they do well in school? So we need to be compassionate and provide breakfast. And so we pointed out that if the government provides breakfast for kids, the parents will stop feeding the kids. And so it's a disincentive to parents to be good parents. And so it will actually backfire. And so they started giving the kids breakfast, but then they figured out by the time 11:30 rolled around, the kids were hungry again. And how could a kid do well in school in the afternoon if he doesn't have a lunch? So then they started giving him lunch. And I've been in school districts where they give them breakfast and lunch, and then when school is out, like for the summer, they still do it. They just give breakfast and lunch, and then they have a budget, and if they don't use it, they lose it. So they put signs up, and they say, we'll feed anyone, just come by. I tried it with my kids just to test. We go by, they feed you. No ID, no nothing. They just feed you. And so when the government takes care of family members, what does that do to the cohesiveness of the family? You know, in New Jersey, after 50 years of welfare and Medicaid and all, and housing allowance and Section 8 and all that, they say that the poverty rate is higher today than it was a half a century ago. That's after billions of dollars. Of course, it is obvious that welfare and socialism destroys the people who receive the aid far more significantly than the people who are taxed to pay for the benefits. The people who suffer are the people who receive the food stamps. Oh, and by the way, one piece of evidence is that they're bitter. I've seen it with my own lives. I've gone food shopping with people receiving food stamps to see how it works. And they're bitter. They're not grateful. I'm speaking in generalities, but you just go and talk to people. They should be getting more money. And by the way, the families I went shopping with to see what it actually looks like, they ate way better than my family. And I don't begrudge anybody eating better than my, I hope everybody eats better than my family. It'd be hard to do. Cheryl's quite a cook. But hey, that's wonderful. But that's not the point. The point is, I remember one gal with two kids, strawberries were very expensive. She filled up three of the largest bags of strawberries. We could never afford to do that. My wife would get a little thing of strawberries, that's it. And she was on food stamps. And that was the norm for her. She bought higher quality food than we could possibly buy. And I don't begrudge her family food. What I'm pointing out is that we have seduced people into supporting a program that destroys the self-respect and the family cohesion of those who are receiving the aid, the benefits. So what's a liberal to do? So now in New Jersey, Willingboro, that's right across the river from Unwillingboro. Willingboro, they said, you know, and it's like it comes right out of, in fact, the New Jersey Star-Ledger. I was born in New Jersey, familiar with New Jersey politics, grew up there. The New Jersey Star-Ledger, they point out it's like a Oliver Twist, like a Dickens novel, where, you know, the kid goes up to school and asks some more, please, and the cafeteria worker throws it in the trash. You don't have money? Throw it in the trash. And so what's a liberal to do, right? They create these welfare programs out of compassion, and then they run out of money for them, so they tell the kid you can't eat. And that's what's called the security net, the safety net, right? The social safety net is that we need to build a safety net so people don't fall through the cracks. But the safety net became a hammock where people take naps. So the safety net is a hammock. And it has destroyed millions of families, actual families. So Alan Keyes, Sunday, yesterday morning, he spoke, he preached the sermon at Denver Bible Church. And what a preacher he is. You know, I normally preach at the pulpit there. And at 12:01, I know I got to stop preaching. Otherwise, there's a trap door below the pulpit and you're gone. But Alan didn't know about that. They didn't push the button. He preached. It was the most fabulous sermon. He did a Bible study on Genesis 1-3, and it was tremendous. For, what, an hour and a half? Hour and 15 minutes? The best Bible study I've ever been at. He spoke at the Colorado Right to Life Banquet. Tremendous. A fabulous group. Heather Cervic spoke there. We saw the video of Heather and her mom, Terry, on CNN. Just a tremendous time. And so here at Bob and Yurt Live, our goal is to keep sharing God's word with our audience, but we need your help. So please go to our website, kgov.com, check out our Bible studies, or call us 1-888-8-NYART. God bless you.